Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So as I said there, I was immediately thrilled on day one when Joe Biden said to Peter Robb, I'll have your resignation now. And when he said no, he said, well, good, because you're fired. I thought that was good. And then his deputy, she wanted to say, well, I'm here. And he's like, no, you're not here either. To me, that was the sign. I was expecting the entrance like we saw with President Obama, where, you know, precedent, and we're just going to let this go. We'll wait it out. I'm thrilled to see that he's coming in and acting immediately. Good sign as far as I'm concerned. And here to share some thoughts on what the first day and a half has looked like, I've asked our good friend Max Burns to come talk with us. Max is a Democratic strategist, also national columnist over at the Daily Beast. Max, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
So day one, a flurry of executive orders. And of course, my favorite part of it is the firing of Peter Robb, which I had been calling for in the weeks running up to. So it's nice to see that someone was listening. But to me, I'm excited that it appears that Sleepy Joe, as Trump called him, is not so sleepy and taking extremely decisive action.
It looks like it. I mean, anyone who had this idea that Joe Biden might not know what he wanted to do or struggle to prioritize all these challenges really is going to have to eat those words. And as we saw during the primary, the big question was, can Joe Biden represent the left? Will he sell the left out on the environment, on immigration reform? And the answer we can now say is no. On his first day, we see the Keystone XL pipeline is gone. We're back in the Paris Agreement. The president ordered the Office of Management and Budget to essentially shred Donald Trump's pro-polluter executive orders over the past 4 years. And most interestingly, there's a plan now where secretaries will report back to the president in 60 days with a full list of recommendations on how we can advance environmental, economic, and racial justice in every aspect of what we do as a government. And that alone is going to be a huge moment for progressives. It's something they've fought for a long time, and it's great to see it happening.
No, I'm right there with you. No, and like I said, I had feared, and this is the reason during the primary I was not on the Biden bandwagon from the beginning. And I'll be honest, he was fourth on my list. But I'm now in this. He's the right guy for the moment, because I do think he understands the gravity of the moment. And I got to wonder, you know, how much of January 6th had to play into this, or if this was going to be the plan all along. But I'm thrilled to see that he's doing it.
And January 6th certainly seems to have solidified the resolve, not just of Joe Biden, but of a lot of people in government to get moving on addressing some of these problems. I was talking about in the environment earlier, but we now have government protection for DACA kids again. We have an end to Donald Trump's inhumane immigration policies. We have the Department of Justice looking into potential misuse of office by senior officials who were more concerned about helping Donald Trump than they were about helping the country. And we're finally seeing this long overdue accountability from a president who does not want to waste any time and is moving on orders, on sending legislation to the House and the Senate, at a much faster clip than even Barack Obama did in his first couple of days.
Yeah, but I got to say, you know, I go back to 2009 when Barack Obama became president. The country was in an economic free fall. We were losing a million jobs a month. It was a crisis, and I think everybody was, you know, in a certain set of mind. I think January 6th put us in another kind of frame of mind that the country's under attack. While our economy is struggling and going down, it's not the economic free fall that 2009 was, but I would argue this is almost worse, because you had a recalcitrant Republican Party who said no to everything. And the reason we didn't get a bigger, chunkier stimulus to help us get through it faster is because the Republicans were saying no.
No, absolutely. Obstruction is all that the Republicans have left right now. We've seen Mitch McConnell just today saying that he acknowledges, of course, that Joe Biden won, that the Democrats control the Senate. But in the name of unity, we should basically give Republicans a veto over every major policy position Joe Biden would like to make law. What we've seen, though, with the president is that he wants to move now on the environment, on COVID especially, and he's willing to work with Democrats and Republicans in Congress. But if they slow things down and if Republicans obstruct, Biden will use the executive pen aggressively to push as much relief as he can. And I think more than Donald Trump by far, Joe Biden is going to be able to go out into the country and build actual movement coalitions to pressure Congress towards meaningful COVID reform. Right. That's something we haven't seen since the Obama days. And it's something that I think Congress is not quite ready for.
No, I mean, especially on the pandemic front, because day one, there were something like 10 executive orders on just the pandemic and the relief. And most of it, I would say probably 9 of the 10 or probably all 10 of them were all things that should have been done 6, 8, 10 months ago. So, you know, I was saying, look, this is what functional government looks like. This is what when the adults take the pen and take the room over, this is what happens. And hopefully we get through this quicker because of it. But this is one of those moments I think we need to learn the lessons. We've been hearing for 40 years that government's bad. Government can't do anything. We shouldn't let government do anything. And when Republicans take control, they show us that government can't work. Well, at least Republican government.
That's absolutely right. And I think the one thing you can say about it is that from Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon to George W. Bush and Donald Trump, Republicans have given Democrats a lot of hands-on experience protecting this country from imminent economic and racial justice and global health crises. These are the people we call in to fix the messes. And Joe Biden has understood, especially on COVID, what I think is critical to know is that infrastructure is the key. We can make all the vaccines we want, but if there's no infrastructure to get those to states, and if the states have no funding and no infrastructure to deliver them into people's arms, we haven't done any good for anybody. And though we're a year late getting started on this plan, it seems that Joe Biden has come into the White House with a full plan in place and is already acting to implement whatever parts he can absent Congress.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, everything that he put into place, and I was talking about this yesterday, was basically, you know, dummies for pandemics. It's the stuff that you need to do to get through it. And I remember, you know, Trump at one point had said that they were going to use the military to get the vaccines out. Whatever happened to that? I mean, I want to give Trump credit for something. I'm really trying to look for something because I know there are a lot of Trump supporters out there going, well, you're not giving him credit for anything. I'm trying, man. I'm trying to find something to give him credit for. But even something as simple as going, you know, that they can hold rifles, they can hold a syringe. That seems pretty simple to me.
Follow through has always been the Trump administration's problem. And we are so fortunate now to have not just a president, but also a cabinet and an executive staff that has experience actually turning policy into law and law into actual on-the-ground deployment. Because like you said, Donald Trump had great plans. There was the Kushner plan that was going to come out on how the federal government and private companies could work together to get this out. Amazon was going to do it. As it turns out from reporting today, they never even wrote the cover for that report. It just didn't exist. And so not only are we building things from the ground up on day one, but we're bringing in people who actually understand how to get these things done. And that's going to be so crucial over the next 100 days.
No, that's an excellent point, because Trump always, if I remember right, Trump always said that he was an ideas guy. You know, he came up with these great ideas. He left it to everybody else to fill in all of the enormous amount of details. But, you know, and I go back to the Herman Cain, who died from the coronavirus, who said that every piece of legislation would be 2, maybe 3 pages long, which again shows that kind of lack of detail in how we have to, in such a large country, deal with all of the problems and all of the things that arise. So for me, this is one of those moments where I hope we relearn what good governance looks like. And that we then hold Joe Biden and the Democrats accountable. Because look, I said from the beginning, I'll be as hard on him as I was on Donald Trump when he messes up. But when he does the right thing, I'm going to point it out.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it all comes down to the team. And we've seen from the White House press secretary's briefings this week that we have someone who's very committed to transparency, to keeping the press and the American people apprised of what's happening. And as Dr. Fauci said the other day, of admitting when they don't know something and saying, we will talk to the experts and get back to you, instead of just lying. this is going to be an adjustment for the press that have kind of normalized Trump's ability to just speak nonsense from the podium. But over time, I think we will appreciate having a president who respects us enough to tell us the truth about the challenges of this pandemic.
Yeah. Were you surprised? I mean, I sat and I watched Jen Psaki's press conference and I'm going, come on, where's the lie? Come on. When's the lie coming? And there was no lie. And I'm going, I feel cheated now. I've been so expecting to get lied to. What are the fact checkers going to do now?
Well, I'll tell you, there's still plenty of things that we can hold the White House accountable on. There's plenty of things that need to get done quickly that may end up getting delayed. But you're absolutely right. I mean, I've watched these, and I was saying to several colleagues of mine, not only by the standard of the Trump administration, but by the standard of all of her colleagues in the press room, the press secretary did a phenomenal job and has come into this perhaps stronger than almost any press secretary that I can remember. And that's going to make a difference because the White House has a lot of credibility building to do. And they're not going to do that by lying. They're not going to do that by pretending to have the answers. They're going to have to level with people. And that's one of the reasons people like Joe Biden.
Yeah, he's a straight shooter. Now, we keep talking about, you know, these executive orders. There's only so far you can go with these executive orders. Legislation's going to have to be passed. And in a 50-50 divide, with a filibuster still in place, nothing's going to get done unless there's something that goes on. Do you see us, bogged down in gridlock over the next year and no real agenda gets passed through? Do you see some kind of negotiating going on? How do you see the legislative part of this moving us forward?
I think Joe Biden can't help but negotiate. He's a natural lifelong senator. He loves to get in and talk about this. But what we saw from Jen Psaki today was that the president is going to be very coy about where he stands on the filibuster. He's said previously he does not support removing it. She said today that thinking hasn't changed, but there is increasing pressure in the Senate to do it. And Biden's message through the White House press office is clear. He trusts the Senate to do their job the way that they think is best. And if they decide to get rid of the filibuster, I don't think you would see Joe Biden out there complaining about it.
Yeah, see, I'm in these polar opposite views. One, the filibuster has so screwed over any progress for labor law reform over the years. During the Carter years, there was an attempt to repeal Taft-Hartley that would have helped union density and helped close the inequality gap. During the Clinton years, Bob Dole individually filibustered a strike replacement bill. Every step forward, Republicans have filibustered. And they've done it in a way that with these silent filibusters who you never know who it is because they're never accountable for it. I'm of the mindset of I know we can't do away with it because I don't believe in the live by the sword, die by the sword mentality. But I do think if you're going to filibuster, you get your water jug, you get your empty jug, you get your books, you get whatever, and you take to the floor and you hold the Senate floor for as long as you can filibuster, if it means that much that we don't get progress. But this idea that we can put a hold on things from secrecy, complete nonsense.
And Republicans are supporting this largely because they know without the filibuster, they can't fight on the strength of their ideas. They have no ideas. None of the policies that Mitch McConnell has proposed could get 51 votes from a Democratic Senate because they're policies that are essentially just holdovers from Donald Trump, from George W. Bush, that didn't work 10 years ago, 12 years ago, and don't work now. I too have mixed feelings. I'm a big fan of procedure, but I think right now our country is in an unprecedented time, and we have the flexibility in our system to make this change. We shouldn't be afraid to do it.
No, I'm right there with you. And again, I go back to January 6th. This was a moment where our country was under attack. And we're under attack in multiple ways. We've got this movement from within, these terrorists from within. We've got a global pandemic that we can't see. And we've got foreign adversaries who are hacking us and doing all the things that they've done over the years. We as a country need to unite more than ever. And this is where I would hope that our Republican senators would be statesmen and not political hacks and come together and figure out how to fix this stuff and move us forward. You know, when we're fat and happy and everyone's employed and our infrastructure's rebuilt and the virus is gone and we don't have any hungry, our kids going to bed and we've got vets who have places to go sleep at night, then we can bicker and then we can fight. Until then, we got work to do.
And the Republicans, unfortunately, rediscovered their fear of the debt and spending on January 20th at noon. And it's going to be on Joe Biden to sell his policies and his view, not just to the Senate, but also to the American people. Because this election showed us the power of the American people to make sweeping changes when they feel they're necessary. And if anyone can harness that coalition again, it's going to be Joe Biden and a more empowered, more optimistic Democratic Party.
Yeah, it's amazing how predictable that now we care about the debt and deficits, and now we're preaching austerity. But during the Trump years, when we were giving massive handouts to the very wealthy, kind of forgot about it. Crazy,
it,
just
it,
crazy
stuff. It
truly
stuff. Is. And it says this idea that it's not even consistent, as we know. It's let's cut spending, let's go into austerity. Except we need to improve the defense budget, except we need to expand subsidies to oil and gas producers, except we need to subsidize coal and industrial agriculture. But honestly, I think the American people see through this nonsense. And the 2020 election proved that the old GOP talking points just simply don't scare people into voting Republican the same way they used to. And if the scare tactics don't work, the GOP's in real trouble because they have no ideas.
Yeah, last question I've got for you, because, you know, clearly we got a lot of work to do. Clearly, there are going to be more executive orders and there's going to be more of this. In the coming week, what is it that you're going to be paying attention to as the national columnist over at the Daily Beast? You know, where are your eyes focused in the coming days on how things are going to transpire?
So the White House has made clear that Joe Biden is going to have a very tight domestic agenda, at least for the foreseeable future until COVID is under control. So what I want to see next is the real shape of Biden's recovery legislation, whether we're going to have robust retroactive unemployment assistance for those who've been out of work, whether we're going to have some sort of monthly direct stimulus to families, because we still have millions of Americans at risk of losing their homes in just a couple of weeks. So this is a situation where not just in lives, but also in financial stability, in children's ability to go to school uninterrupted, we have days or weeks to get it together and act. Yeah. And Joe Biden has shown his willingness to do that. It's up to the Senate and the House now to get it done.
Time to get to work and get things done. Max, I appreciate the time. Keep up the great work. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Max Burns, Democratic strategist, national daily columnist over at the Daily Beast. Good stuff. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.